Hello and welcome to Organize Audio. I am Nufi and this is Care and Anarchy, an attempt to think beyond governmentalities, posted on the 19th of June 2023. Introduction. How does one care without ethics? And how does one come to exist without, or outside of, or devoid of governmentality? These are two of the questions that will fuel this exploration of anarchy and care. In particular, though, I term anarchy herein. I am specifically speaking to a post-anarchism, anarcho-feminism, decolonial anarchism. Moreover, as I am terming care, I am turning to care ethics and caring as elucidated in the latter half of the 20th century by theorists such as Nell Noddings, Joan Toronto, Fisher, etc. In specific, however, in this piece, I will suggest a binding, a merging, a critical happenstance that allows us as thinkers and theorists to maintain positionality within anarchy and care/caring without relegating ourselves to a particular social or to a particular ideation of power that inheres regimenting ethics or an adherence to naturalisms of caring and or anarchy. In other words, while I position caring as an alternative to the theoretical inadequacy of anarchy as it attempts to escape governmentalities of ethics, I also want to suggest an anarchal stance within the confines of care so that caring does not devolve into either ethics of self or considerations of human nature as caring. Breaking this down a bit more, I will begin with a small introduction of anarchical studies and theory, while also bringing up the more intimate and contemporary connection that anarchic studies have made against and towards governmentality. The ways in which anarchic theory challenges governmentality in politics, the social, and regimentations of power, without fully being able to deal with the vicissitudes that result from informatics and terminetrics of governmentality as they enter into this conversation. Moreover, within this note on anarchic theory, I will also address the perennial problematic of how some form of a social that is not one may come to exist without or outside of the governmentalities of the political, or the like coming into question, mitigating anarchic realizations towards caring rather than towards something other than, something governmental, something power-ridden, or something institutionalizing. Further, I will also interrogate care ethics. I will give a small introduction to the subject and its own history, coming from the late 20th century in specific, giving credit to the work of Noddings, Toronto, Fisher, etc. In so doing, however, I will also begin to bring out the problematics that are associated with care as care ethics, informing a kind of constituent critique of both care ethics and anarchical theory simultaneously, each offering the other something that it needs to strengthen its theoretical integrity and its ability to transgress normative theoretical intentions. In other words, in this critique, while I want care and anarchy to inform each other's theoretical frameworks, I also want them to demonstrate how care and anarchy may come together in a specific way, in a specific form, that may allow us as ethical, political, non-ethical, non-political theorists to think, do, feel about anarchical futures in more humane ways that do not engender re-engineering positionalities and strictures of power such as ethics. Finally, within ideas of rhizomatic spaces, temporary autonomous zones, groundless solidarity, and maternality, I will bring about the argument that care and anarchy can exist within the same space and the same time, while also offering us as theorists to think, do, feel around some of the barriers within anarchic theory and care ethics, offering a more practical and anarchic reference point for those of us who are able and willing to enact and reenact these time spaces of anarchic caring, caring as anarchic and anarchy as caring. Ultimately, this piece will simultaneously embody a theoretical existence within/of caring, within/of anarchy, and anarchy within/of caring, while also insisting, in the tradition of anarchy and caring within feminist theory, that doing is thinking, is feeling, and Alternatively, thinking is feeling is doing, continuing in both of these traditions to break down a Western conventional and normative separation of being and thinking towards some other form that is more attuned with a modality of mind, body, spirit, indigenizing, decolonizing from several spaces within anarchic theory, and feminizing from several thinkers and places within feminist thought. Anarchy is a broad field of theory and practice, and even more so if we instantiate decolonizing anarchism, as we will do and must do. Our responsibility to the history of anarchism crosses cultures, linguistic heritages, political assemblages, and spiritual enunciations way beyond the Western conception of anarchy that begins in the late 19th century. For, in its place, anarchy has existed outside of time and space, a form of thinking and acting that attunes to disembodied and distressed peoples from all over the world, a contemplation that allows for the re-embodiment and autonomous localization of the individual and community without the precipitant instantiation of governmentalities. In turn, we can find this incessant contemplation of anarchy, such as deconstruction of the state found in Vedic anarchism, the practical considerations of the spirit as undeterred and uncontrolled within the idealizations of the Great Spirit within many indigenous cultures in North America, the spiritual invocation of the overthrow of the state, king, and private property by Zoroastrian prophets such as Mazdak, and the conscious insistence on the connectivity, interconnectivity, and the interspersal space between and of mind, body, soul, spirit, consciousness, and unconsciousness that can be found throughout anarchism and exemplified in Zapatista conceptions of the ground as body and the memories of pieces of the earth. The viscerality of and between the human and the earth, the mind and others' minds, the human and the spirit as well as other spirits. Furthermore, it is not only this history of decolonial anarchism that is largely ignored in anarchist histories, or rather given a piecemeal existence alongside names such as Bakunin, Kropotkin, or Godwin, that brings me to this connection between anarchy and care that is of the utmost importance to the continuation and precipitation of anarchical futures that may be more livable. But it was also anarcho-feminists such as the Dark Star Collective, Emma Goldman, Voltairine de Cleyre, Los Mujeres Libres, etc., that brought me to this connectivity betwixt care philosophy and anarchical thinking. Even more so, to briefly gesture towards the works of Judith Butler and Jennifer Gore, the argument of governmentalities or institutionalities extends beyond legislation as governing apparatuses and beyond or within regimentations of power. Thus, anarcho-feminists and feminist thinkers of care push me towards this piece on anarchy and care, yearning to speak towards an anarchy outside of the rhetorics of an already foreseen sociality endemic to governmentalities and vice versa, while also speaking to a care that does not necessitate or regiment reaction or responsibility as understood within or of connection toward ethics and politicality. Moving on, contemporary anarchical thinking begins with its post-movement in the late 1980s and the early 1990s. Furthermore, while work akin to this post-movement within anarchical thinking has been going on since anarchy's Western inculcation, it was in this period of thinking, doing, feeling that philosophers such as Illich, Hakim Bey, Todd May, Saul Newman, etc. were able to announce themselves through the medium of theoretical conceptualities, languaging, such as post-anarchism and the proliferations of anarchic naming, anarcho-feminism, decolonial anarchism, indigenous anarchy, crypt anarchy, etc. Moreover, although there are intimate and discursive differences among these various schools of thought, post-anarchism designates a reattribution of power towards the unmediatable, outside of structure, such that power is insidious and subversive to the point of immitigability. Even more so, with the schools mentioned above, anarcho-feminism, decolonial anarchism, indigenous anarchy, crypt anarchy, etc., we have entire assemblages of discourses and ideifications that attend to the very governmentalities that are no longer understandable or conferable as understood through a Western gaze of tangibility, or even vocality, languaging, or subjectivity. In such a turn, I will bring to the fore not only recently inhabited spaces of knowledge formation within the confines of post-anarchy as political theory, but spaces that have had to be formed for this work to be done and to take meaning as its future meaning. Ultimately, I plan not only to introduce a brief history of post-anarchy from the 80s in light of a regularizable past, but also to create an inkling, an insinuation, a beginning of history that attends to the present, the past, and to the future. An introduction of sorts that can contextualize and be contextualizing a movement towards a formation of anarchy that will always already be in the process of becoming. Post-anarchy began as a post-structural instantiation of anarchy by theorists such as Illich and May, the latter inscribing and implicating this connective tissues in their work, The Political Philosophy of Post-Structuralist Anarchism. Saul Newman commits the same kind of interconnective play, as they consistently inscribe postness within post-anarchism as intimately and routinely tied to post-structuralism. This article outlines a politics of post-anarchism, which is based on a radical renewal via post-structuralist theory of classical anarchism's critique of statism and authority and its political ethics of ego-libertarianism. However, such an instantiation is to a certain extent false or falsifying, attempting to mimic a steady flow of theoretical work that blends into each other, yet all the while subversively and potentially hegemonically diminishing other works that attend to substantiate post-anarchism as a varied piece of theory that begins to not only walk across the post-scene, but also across crib studies, queer studies, decolonial studies, feminist thinking, and the like. As such, this terminetric towards post-structuralism is distracting, or rather belying. It attends to a Western hegemonic and ingrained theoretical consistency or non-consistency, only to ignore and do violence against other theoretical frameworks that constitute the fullness of post-anarchic work. For instance, just bringing the name of anarchism to bear on such a limited postness is detrimental. As anarchy has been developed and spoken towards and away from, anarchy has always been concerned with the human experience, living, autonomy, hegemony, and existence. Still more, this hegemonic tilt away from the other slash the south slash the diasporic slash the crypt is yet another mistake that has larger implications for post-anarchism. In other words, by merely inculcating post-structuralism within an anarchic frame, we headily remain within the political and the social as theoretical frameworks, escaping towards the post-structural, the textual, the differentiable, the analyzable, the explicable. To put this differently, as bell hooks argues that dialogical spaces nurture the passion of experience, which she describes as a passion of remembrance that encompasses embodied knowledge of suffering and pain, along with its bodily manifestations. We must continue a feminist, queer, decolonial, crypt, etc. delineation among the lines of post-structuralism and its various schools. In other words, as these schools of thought continue to expand post-structuralism's readability towards experience, toward the body, and toward the indecipherable, we must not reduce our language to just postness as post-structural, but must also lay value towards decolonial thinking, feminist studies, queer theory, and crypt experience. In this way, by paying fuller attention to the broader familial relations of post-anarchic work, we are attempting to expand our theoreticality toward the textual or towards the understandable as discursive. But we are also acknowledging that our thinking, doing, feeling towards potentialities of the future, towards the political and towards the social, remain diffuse and maneuverable. In still other words, this is where we receive more space for theoretical movement that allows us to think, do, feel about care theory and the like. By expanding our ideas of the theoretical and the readable, the important or the valuable, in the inscription of post-anarchism, we can also begin think, doing, feeling about various theoretical movements within these places that may be able to answer some of the perennial issues of anarchy such as governmentalities pertaining to ethics or morality, how we may enter and be within other spaces that do not necessitate or instantiate the or a governmentalities of subjectivity or the sociality of experience that escapes the radically confined critiques and areas of critique within post-structuralism proper towards other branches of thinking, doing, feeling that are potentially more illuminating or fertile for such thinking, doing, feeling. Ultimately, this time-space of post-anarchism, as I have delineated it, is important to the conversation of care and anarchy because it begins to open the theoretical space of anarchy back towards the indeterminate, the experiential, the body, etc. Thus, not only do we need to re-understand anarchy as a political and theoretical space towards what we have outlined above, but we should also understand anarchy as a space rooted within or of oppressive experiences, oppressed bodies, and oppressed memories. Care interlude, a case against sociality. Following this brief and theoretically driven introduction of anarchy and its issuance of governmentalities as necessarily oppressive or limiting, I would then like to turn our attentions to care ethics and its feminist emplacement. Particularly, what I would like to do in this section is to begin a process of unravelling caring intentionalities from ethics itself. For instance, Joan Tronto and Fisher, two of the foremost theorists of care ethics, fundamentalised the ways in which care, instantiating care within forms of governmentalities and definitions of citizenship. For instance, Tronto argues citizenship, like caring, is both an expression of support, as when the government provides support for those who need care, and a burden, the burden of helping to maintain and preserve the political institutions and the community. Continuing, they also argue that government is something we care about, and something that reciprocates by providing care for us as well. Briefly, these positions are indicative of the problem that care and anarchy bring to the surface when juxtaposed. The intimate and insidious ways in which care ethics necessitate a communal control over values, ideas, and knowledges. To put this another way, this is a fundamental piece of care ethics that must be challenged by anarchical thinking, if we are to think to feel of caring as a way in which we can understand or imagine anarchical futures without having to be re-understood through various regimes of power or coercions. In still other words, I will organise this brief interlude by analysing the ways in which care and caring are normatively signified as moral principles that govern a person's behaviour or the conducting of an activity, thereby anarchically arguing that such intentions of care ethics idealise care as ethical, governmental, and institutional. Furthermore, in such a way, I would like to juxtapose Joan Tronto's definalisation of a or the democracy of care against Nell Nodding's conception of care as intimately related within or of the maternal. In particular, the problem that I would like to excavate within the grounds of care philosophy is the fundamental contradiction between care ethics as an ethics and caring as interrelational and maternal. To begin, Joan Tronto's book, Caring Democracy Markets, Equality and Justice, not only reinculcates democratic values, however illusory, within or of the philosophy of care, but the book also understands governmentality as something that always already exists, thereby arguing that democracy would be the ideal government that would allow caring to flourish as an ethics. For instance, Caring Democracy argues that we need to rethink American democracy, as well as our fundamental values and commitments from a caring perspective. What it means to be a citizen is to be someone who takes up the challenge. How should we best allocate care responsibilities in society? For Tronto, the issue is not that caring does not take place within the conditionalities of the social, but rather that the government's concern needs to move towards caring, understanding care as the fundamental concern within or of democratic life. However, within a differentiating frame, Nell Nodding's care offers a scepticism regarding governmentalities and caring. Within Nodding's work, moreover, there is a critique of the heteropatriarchal conception of democracy and government as a way of regulating or mandating care, In Nodding's work, they argue, as more groups not associated with formal government institutions interact across national and cultural lines, it will become harder for the government to concoct believable propaganda and employ strategic deceit. Thus, in contrast with Joan Toronto's conceptualization of caring, Noddings understands governmentalities regarding caring radically differently. While Noddings questions the fundamental intonation of government through a particular lens that intends to realize or make known the insinuations of heteropatriarchy as inundated with the social, the ethical, and the government itself, Joan Toronto moves in the opposite direction, questioning how we may be able to redefine democratic political life in ways that are fundamentally concerned with care and caring. Thus, this is the differentiation that is valuable to our exploration of care and anarchy herein. For instance, the ethical makes a necessary determination of governing. Moral principles that govern a person's behaviour or the conducting of an activity, thereby opening a space for anarchy to enter this space of critique. In other words, as mentioned in the introduction, the critique that I am building and expanding upon throughout this piece is to create space in which care may be able to speak to anarchy and where anarchy may be able to speak to care. And, in this way, we must re-understand how anarchy comes to question the governmental and ethical considerations of care, how we may think to feel care or caring outside of ethics towards a temporary Noddings conception of caring that necessitates a questioning of governmentalities as constitutive of the social. Ultimately, we must question care or caring as an ethics to then move towards interrelational caring without bringing to bear the contradictions of governmentalities within or of caring, the ways in which a heteropatriarchal conception of government and governmentalities necessarily challenge the underlying notions of caring as filled out in the other. Furthermore, even as I made use of Nell Nodding's caring as an exemplification or as a contrast against Joan Toronto's caring democracy markets, equality and justice, I also want to recognise that Nell Nodding's does not escape governmentalities completely in their work, such that they still revert to questionings of ethics and moralities, even as they elide Toronto's more blatant discursal attachments to governmentalities. Anarchy in Care. At this point in the piece, I want to more fully construct a critique that is built on and within Anarchy and Care. In other words, I will begin this section of the piece with a simultaneous critique of care and anarchy that would aid both caring and anarchy in theoretical and practical considerations of the other. In laying this out, I would like to preliminarily bring anarchy into the conversation with care to breathe new life or critical energy into the realizations of care as caring. In still other words, in light of Toronto's and Nodding's work, I want to position anarchy as a necessary piece of conceptualizing the uninhibited nature of care or caring as something that is outside or exempt from the normative forms of governmentalities. Moreover, I will use the specific language of the gift in relation to care or caring purposely herein, in contrast with Derridean thought on the unconditional gift, such that they make impossible such idealizations. I want to reframe care or caring think-doing-feeling as an unconditionalizing gift on groundless solidarity rather than as an ethic or morality. In other words, I will argue that care is given beyond the attempt for some return of care or demanded or forced interrelationality. To bring back to the surface the issuance within Toronto and Nodding's, as I explicated above, in care or caring philosophy, there seems to be an intimation with ethics or morality. For instance, even as Nodding's attempts a particular form of escape from the governmental, I am suggesting, rather, that rules cannot guide us infallibly in situations of conflict, and I am suggesting strongly that we have no ethical responsibility to cooperate with law or government when it attempts to involve us in unethical procedures. Spying, infiltrating, entrapment, betrayal are all anathema to one caring, and she cannot justify them on the basis of principle. They still return to the language of ethics and morality as an explication of care or caring. Further, I have claimed that when a natural caring fails, the motive energy in behalf of the other can be summoned out of caring and for the ethical self. In particular, though Noddings begins to question the direct implication that Toronto makes to democracy and governmentalities, ethics as a way to govern a person's behaviour or the conducting of an activity, Noddings still bleeds their conceptualizations of care or caring into the governmental, the ethical, and the natural or transcendental. For instance, Noddings argues, I want to build an ethic on caring, and I shall claim that there is a form of caring natural and accessible to all human beings. In such a way, both authors, whether inundated by the language of government, the governmentality of ethics, or both, neglect to theorize a sense of caring that lies completely in free association, as something extant outside of the control of others and the regimentations of power as either governmental or natural or transcendental. Furthermore, within such theoretical works, caring becomes a value, something to attain and retain. Caring becomes a socializing means of realization that is valuable within a communal organization, and as such, caring then becomes inundated by regimentations and conceptions of social or discoursal powers. However, bringing anarchy into this questioning helps us to realize and re-understand this conundrum that care or caring has with governmentality and in ethics. In other words, as Palante argues, morality is the great enemy of individuality. It tries either by imperious directives or by persuasion to make the individual deny themselves. And if we look more closely, we quickly realize that the personality glorified by moralists is always at the bottom, the ideal essence of humanity. In other words, Palante argues that ethics, moralities, and governmentalities within care or caring frames create an ideal of humanity that is then forceful, oppressive, and repressive. On the other hand, Emma Goldman argues that caring or care must take on the attitude of free love or mutual aid, a mutual, however, that is not coercive. Free love, love given and received as a gift, again in a counter-Derridian sense, is an appropriate grounding for intimate relationships that are non-coercive and yet communalizing. To put this yet another way, I am attempting to argue that as anarchy speaks to care or caring, we may be able to realize or conceptualize a space of non-socialities without regularizing coercive regimental communal existence. Rather, within an anarchical interpretation of care or caring, I am hoping to engender free relations outside of necessitated responses, a rhizomatic or rebellious space of interrelations that are undetermined by pre-extant discoursal attachments. In this way, I am presenting a counter-Derridian conceptualization of caring or care as a giving that must necessarily drop its referent that Heidegger, Lyotard, and Derrida note as the self-other matrix. From the moment the gift would appear as gift as such as what it is in its phenomenon, its sense and its essence, it would be engaged in a symbolic, sacrificial, or economic structure that would annul the gift in the ritual circle of the debt. The simple intention to give, insofar as it carries the intention or meaning of the gift, suffices to make a return payment to oneself. The simple consciousness of the gift right away sends itself back the gratifying image of goodness or generosity, of the giving being who, knowing itself to be such, recognizes itself in a circular, spectacular fashion, in a sort of auto-recognition, self-approval, and narcissistic gratitude. Ultimately, I would suggest that anarchy challenges the unconditionalizing gift within care theory into possible non-coercion, rather than conditioning the imagination of the gift as always already impossible, given Derrida's work in Given Time I want to imagine time spaces within or of caring or care and anarchy, where giving, the gift, is given freely as Goldman is able to intimate with free love and mutual aid. Thus, as this work continues, we will extend our imaginations and prepare care or caring as a gift, something that is given without referent to the self, giving for the sake of nothingness, giving beyond the coordinations of being or non-being. Caring must be reimagined in this process of bringing anarchical thought to bear. We must think, do, feel, rather than merely perpetuate stale attenuations of theoretical work. We must continue in this vein of thought while leaving the stale intersections of ethics and morality, and thereby enter a much more fluid space-time. We must enter into an imaginative time-space of anarchy that does not naturalize, design ethics, nor construct governmentalities. Caring anarchy. Following our discussion of how anarchy can challenge care or caring, we can now begin to imagine how care or caring can come to reciprocally provoke anarchical possibilities. In brief, anarchical theory or praxis has had a perennial issue of answering questions of communal existence. For instance, throughout the histories of anarchical thought or thinking, there have been constant and consistent attempts to answer the all-menacing question of attenuating communal existence while maintaining anarchical being. For instance, Max Stirner posits unions of egoists, which merely falls into the issuance of a social without a social, mutual aid that continually ruptures and is recreated in different spaces that invalidate a social as a commonplace of existence. Unions of egoists are small, temporary communities that are based on selfish notions of human nature. They bring to the fore issues of not only governmentality within the formulations of the unions it imposes, but also questions whether such a social is necessarily oppressive and power-ridden, given its own connection to naturalizations of the human qua selfishness. Further, Bakunin argues for a conceptualization of syndicalist and collectivist anarchical constructions that attempt to reimagine the social as constitutive of mutual aid. Yet, Bakunin's syndicalism is still necessarily reliant on their conceptions of human nature as fundamentally good. Moreover, even within or of Bayes' conceptions of temporary autonomous zones, there are continual questions or problems of violence, oppression, governmental attenuation, and temporality that puts into precarity their conceptualizations of a social without governmentalities. Finally, anarchical thinking or theory also has formations of religious anarchism, anarcho-socialism, green anarchism, platformism, etc. However, with each consecutive instantiation of a new or differentiable appreciation or realization of anarchical being, we also come to term or conceptualize new forms of governmentalities or complete reckoning of the social as some form of solving the ways in which anarchists come to define power as always already oppressive. In other words, while we may go towards the absolute ends of individualist anarchism in the attempt to remove governmentalities or regimentations from the social, in doing so, we irrevocably destroy the social as a place of interrelationality and/or communal existence. As such, the issue that I want to put forth as we come to envision care thinking within anarchic theoretical and imaginative spaces is how we may be able to conceptualize a social or socials communal existence without framing such existence in reference to governmentalities as organizing principles or ruling apparatuses. Moreover, this is why we must bring caring or care into this conversation outside of framings of ethics and towards framings of giving and free love. In particular, this is also the challenge that we must make to Derrida's work in Given Time I. In contrast to Derrida's impossibilization of free giving, we must, in an anarchical fashion, imagine places for ourselves to exist in more undetermined or undetermining space-times. To put this challenge differently, as we come to imagine care or caring within frames of anarchical thinking, feeling, doing, we cannot hold on to mere post-structural ways and means of thinking, but must, as noted in the introduction of this piece, grasp at the totality of the thinking, doing, imagining, feeling work of post-anarchy, including decolonial thinking, queering, cripping, feminist thought, etc. We must not drop the attempt to describe a particular reality that is always already fleeting and illusory, and continuously begin again from a differentiable space-time that may allow us to think to feel in newer ways, spaces that may allow us to form or continue othered ways of being and knowing that have already existed, will exist, and those time signatures that contradict the very formations of the present that Derrida attempts to challenge, yet inevitably falls prey to. In such a way, I want to propose, imagine, and think about a social within and of caring or care that delimits an anarchical or communal existence. Even more so, within this critical moment, I would like to begin a process of thinking, doing, feeling the maternal, as Noddings uses it within their explications of caring, expanding such significations towards the giving and free love, re-understanding maternality within or of a broader scope of human relations that does not depend upon being born or existing, but is built and unbuilt upon free association and free love. In other words, in thinking, feeling, doing this turn, I will argue that caring or care anarchically intimates an imminent maternality. In still other words, this argument is without and outside of words or worlds, and remains within the or a pre-language thinking, feeling, imagining, doing of anarchy or care or caring, that does not attempt to control individuality, that also makes possible social existence as constituted by and constitutive of free association, mutual aid, and free love. Thus, with this movement, I must ask for the reader's imagination, their theoretical patience, and the suspension of normative or Western modalities of thinking or theory. In the fullness of my argument herein, I am simultaneously upsetting the ethical, moralistic, and linguistic notation of caring within care ethics as imagined by Tronto, Fisher, Noddings, and the like, while also reconsidering anarchical existence beyond any form of governmentality, while also retaining the feeling, the emotive, the actionability of the gift and of caring or care outside of Derridean insistence of the gift's impossibility. Ultimately, this melange of meaning-making, unmeaning and meaning destruction coalescence in a moment of imagined reality or unreality, and within this moment or movement, I want to position such free love, caring or care, an anarchical being as or of maternality. I want us to think, feel, do this space-time of imagining, doing, thinking, feeling as a coalescence of anarchical being and care or caring. In particular, I want to imagine, think, do, feel a temporaneous, fleeting means of existing or non-existing as anarchical, caring, and maternal, intimating a conception or possibility of reality or realities that exist within moments of the maternal that necessarily elide variegating governmentalities and make possible communality. By caring from a maternal instantiation of feeling that pulls towards the pre-linguistic and intimates free love and giving, I would argue that we come closer to a potential conception of anarchical being that continues to challenge oppressive or limiting regimentations of power enacted on behalf of ethics, morality, and government. Conclusion. Throughout this piece, I have set up a normative critique of care or caring and anarchy as coming towards spaces where each theoretical frame may be able to speak to the other, and a thinking, doing, feeling intonation toward a possible maternality, a caring or care anarchical being. In other words, I have embodied an anarchical and caring work that attempts a transgression betwixt these theoretical or imaginative planes of existence. To put it differently, past the normative forms of critique that I bring to light in this piece of anarchy and care, I also move away from the normative instigation of caring as ethics and anarchy as singularly a political praxis. In regards to care or caring, I theorize feel-do anarchical work to move our conceptions of caring or care away from the political, the ethical, and the organized, such that the care and caring moves towards the pre-linguistic impetus toward the maternal relationship, expanding this semi-closed system of signification past the one-to-one relationship of mother and child towards a broader understanding of human interrelationality based on mutual existence and the ever-presence of non-existence. In this vein, caring, or care, as maternal and unfixed, becomes detached from language as a significatory regimentation of ethics, and a closer to a thinking-feeling-doing framework of anarchical being founded within or on nothingness and everythingness. A conception of free love and free association, acknowledging a connection between or amongst humans as extant, but also treading carefully so as not to confound such intimations of caring or care as ethical, natural, or governmental, and so as not to conflate anarchical being as necessarily violent, coercive, or wholly individualistic, such that caring philosophy becomes caring or care in the issual of governmentalities and the logics of the political or ethical. Caring or care is no longer a responsabilization of the social upon or with the individual or vice versa, but instead, care or caring is a thinking, doing, feeling that is completely dependent upon free association of individuals, communities with each other. Caring or care, as noted above, as a potentializing alternative to the perennial issuance of communal, anarchical being outside of organization. Ultimately, though ideas of mutual aid and free love have been ever present within the ideas of anarchy, noting Kropotkin's idealizations of anarchy in the West and Goldman's work as well, caring or care offers us a way to think, do, feel about relationality, communality, and mutual aid without necessitating ethics or governmentalities, speaking in the multiplicity of relations that come to exist without governing what forms of relations can come into existence. In other words, I have suggested a variegating maternality that always already seems to be coming into existence, that forms and deforms between and amongst individuals and communities, and that is not based on traditional anarchical logics of self-preservation, human naturalism, or insinuations of governmentalities. Maternality, a caring anarchical being, eschews necessitation and regimentation. It makes possible connections of existence to connections of non-existence and further beyond. In this infinite permutation of thinking, doing, feeling, time, spaces, of radical multiplicities of caring or care, intimating a connection to groundless solidarity from Diane Elam, that eschew normative definalizations and governmentalizations, we may begin to come closer to a non- or un, or a, or social existence that enables anarchical liberation and caring or care, existence or non-existence, without necessitating or reinvoking regimentations of being and or various means of oppressing or limiting human or non-human potentialities.